Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
Hey there, LBIC family, and those others of you who are joining us today. It's good to be with you again today. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapters 20 through 22 and some of Jesus's parables that he tells about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. We want to kind of just take some time and rest in these parables in order to place our feet, kind of firmly place our feet in an understanding, or at least in thinking about what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God, especially as we live in the midst of the kingdom of this world. And so we want to look at these parables over the next couple weeks in Matthew chapter 20 through 22. If you're not a follower of Jesus and you're joining us here and kind of tuning in, just a special welcome to you. I do hope that as we talk about these parables of Jesus, as we look at what the kingdom of heaven is like, it is a source of hope for you, as it is for me, as we think about, wow, there's another reality, there's another way to live than the world or the culture that's around us that often takes life from us rather than giving life to us. I'm a firm believer that the kingdom of God, under the lordship of Jesus, brings life to us and can renew the world around us. And so that's why we want to take a look at those things. And so if you're not following Jesus yet, or just kind of exploring who Jesus is and what he's all about, I'm excited that you're here with us. If you have been following Jesus for a short or long period of time, I hope this is a renewing thing for you, kind of not only just a refresher, but a way for us to renew ourselves in the kingdom that we're called to participate in the midst of the kingdoms of this world. So let's dive in here. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 20. Verses 1 through, I think, 12 today. But before we get there, I wanted to tell you about a friend of mine whose name is Mark, who helps me get an understanding and a very practical understanding of what the kingdom looks like on a day-to-day basis. Mark is a friend of mine who lives in Maryland. He owns his own construction company. He has no idea I'm talking about him today. But I've always admired Mark. One, because Mark can do things that I just simply cannot do. He can build just about anything that there is. He is some sort of jujitsu sort of person. He's a mountain biker and incredibly good at that. He plays the drums. He plays the sax. I'm kind of just envious of who Mark is and what Mark can do. So I'm a bit jealous. But the main reason that I admire Mark is because of the way he brings his faith into just everyday practice, particularly in the way that he runs his company. And so he has a small outfit, small crew. It's not a big company, but they do incredibly good work. And I remember talking to him about just his philosophy of how he runs his company one time. And one of the things, well, he tries to do a couple of things. One, he wants not just to give his folks a livable wage, but he wants to treat them as he treats himself. And so he does that in the way that he pays them, in the way that he cares for them, and he cares for their families. And so he sees himself as an equal. Certainly he's the boss and he's the person who runs it, but from an economic perspective, he doesn't say, well, I'm just going to get rich off of this while these people work for me. But he sees himself as an equal to them and treats them as such. Another cool thing that he talked about one time, you know, in construction, if you're in construction, you know that sometimes you finish jobs ahead of time. And so when they get done on a job site early, sometimes instead of just giving them the day off, Mark tells me that every once in a while he just takes them out golfing. And so they all go out and just golf together. And so for me, it's just a wonderful expression both of how to treat people in a very practical way, in a needs-based way, where he takes care of their families, not only at the minimum level, but he's generous in that, But then these times when, you know, the work is done and you could just have them take the day off or you'd start a next project. Instead, he pays for them to go golfing with him as just kind of this celebration, this thank you for their efforts. And so I've just always admired that about Mark. And I use Mark to head into Jesus's parable that comes from Matthew chapter 20 today, because he talks about, this is the parable about the laborers in the vineyard. And so how the landowner treats the laborers in his vineyard. And so let's look at this in Matthew 20. It's verses 1 through 16. I'm sorry, not 1 through 12. So let's look at this together. Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like," and this is how all of these parables are going to start off. Jesus is trying to give his listeners an idea of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now, the word "like" is really important, because Jesus isn't saying the kingdom of heaven is blah, 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 as kind of a factual statement. These are the quantifiable things, these are the checklists that you can do in order to be part of the kingdom. He's saying the kingdom of heaven is like. And instead of just giving that checklist of those details, Jesus tells a story. Jesus tells a story. And stories are more nuanced. Stories have a lot of layers and a lot of meanings to them. So it's not just, well, let's get this one meaning out of a story. It's what can we learn from the different nuances and the different layers to this story. And so as we read the story, we want to be attentive to the characters in the story and which characters that we identify with, or which feelings or reactions or responses that we identify with. "For the kingdom of heaven is like," Jesus said, "a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you what is right.' So they went. He went out again at about noon and then about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and still found others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?' 'Because no one's hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'Well, you go work in my vineyard too.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and then going to the first.' The workers who were hired at about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were first hired, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want to with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." So the kingdom of heaven is like. And so this story describes what the kingdom of heaven is like. And so for me, this means it ought to be calling me to a greater reality. So it calls something within me. I want to aspire to this, because the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God under the lordship and the reign of Jesus is how we were always created to be and to live and experience life. And so there's this calling of something out of me, something that is aspiring within me to participate in. It's also something that confronts me. So because I live in the kingdom of this world and you live in the kingdom of this world, it's obviously not the kingdom of heaven. There's a confrontational nature to the kingdom of heaven too. So it calls something out of me, it calls something out of you, and it also confronts something in us. The day-to-day norm of maybe how we learn from the world around us how to live. And so it's both comforting and aspirational, and it's also in some ways confrontational. And so Jesus begins with a story of an illustration that we would understand. So these laborers every day, what would happen in towns would be there would be day laborers, and they would gather together in the marketplace, and then the landowners would come and they would hire people for the day, And so the workday would start at 6 a.m. and would end at 6 p.m. So keep in mind, this is a 12-hour workday. And then this parable gets told where, okay, so the landowner comes into the marketplace, hires a certain amount. At 6 a.m., they're going to work a 12-hour shift. Now, typically, the landowner would just hire what he needed from the get-go, but this landowner is a bit different. Now, whether it's just to illustrate the graciousness of God, or whether it's to say, the harvest is really good here, and so the landowner keeps coming back, we simply don't know. But the landowner comes back, so at 6, the first one comes, or the first group is hired, then at 9, so that's group number 2, then at 12, group number 3, then at 3, group number 4, and then at 5, so the ones who were hired last literally only worked probably less than an hour, because it would have taken them time to get to wherever the vineyard was to from the marketplace. So then when they finished work, the landowner calls for the foreman to pay the workers their wage, their day wage. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, there's a commandment that is given that every worker must be paid at the end, every day laborer must be paid at the end of the day, because their lives were so tenuous that it was literally a denarius was their daily bread. These people were not people of means. They would be people who were on the lower end of the income scale. Wouldn't necessarily be poverty, but it would be, a denarius would be a living wage, okay? So in our day and age, like a living wage is different than poverty level or different than minimum wage. So the denarius is a living wage. And so those who worked the 12-hour day had already agreed with the landowner about the wage for the day. It was going to be a denarius. It was going to be enough for their daily bread, a day's wage, a living wage. Remember the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. This is a very tangible illustration of what that daily bread looks like. And so the workers start to get paid, beginning with the last, those who probably worked less than an hour, and then going to the first. So verses 9 and 10 describe this. The workers who were hired at 5 in the afternoon, okay, that's when they were hired, not necessarily how long they worked. 5 in the afternoon came and each received a day's wage, a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. Now, if you're the person who's worked 12 hours, and, you know, the order of pay is no big deal. It doesn't really matter who gets paid first, but Jesus is telling the story to illustrate something. And so you can imagine if you're the one who's worked 12 hours, really has worked throughout the heat of the day, has taken on most of the responsibility of the day. You see the person who gets, who has worked probably for less than an hour, get paid what you were promised. What I would be thinking anyway in my mind is calculating, okay, well, if this guy gets a denarius, I've been working 12 hours, so do I get 12? Or I at least have to get more than one. And so automatically in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be, and this isn't thoughts about getting rich. This might just be thoughts about, wow, this is uber security. This isn't just enough for my day, but this might be enough for tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that too. And so there's this expectation that's created within these people who've been working for the longer periods of time, particularly the ones who Jesus points out in this story were the first ones selected. There's this anticipation, what is going to happen? If they get this, then I'm going to get whatever it is, but it's going to be more than a denarius. But this wasn't how it worked. So let's read what happened. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. I mean, you can imagine the letdown, right? I would begin to grumble too. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. And so let's remember that Jesus is teaching in parables again. These are stories, and so we want to pay attention to the nuances of the story. Now, if Jesus is telling a story, that means Jesus has an audience. And in this audience, if you read around Matthew chapter 20, you know that there are Pharisees present in the audience. They're not the only part of the audience. They're not the dominant part of the audience, but they're present along with other people in the audience as well. And so the Pharisees in the crowd would probably automatically identify with those people who have been working the whole 12-hour shift. And so as the story moves, you can almost kind of sense they're identifying with, okay, these are the people who were hired first. This is my role in the story. And then you can see kind of how the anticipation builds, especially as the foreman begins to pay, starting with the least, the person who worked least, paying them such a great amount, and the Pharisees are like, okay, yeah, I'm really going to get what I deserve. And so there's this expectation that climbs throughout the story as you're hearing the story, as you're listening to the story, the Pharisees are thinking, okay, this is my role in the story. And then it comes crashing down in an instant. What they expect and what they anticipate doesn't happen at all. And so the Pharisees, this grumbling that happens within the characters of the story probably represent what's happening inside the Pharisees as they listen to and hear the story. They go from this point of calculation to a point of disappointment and anger. But they're not the only ones that are in this crowd, right? There are other people and probably a broad spectrum of people who are in the crowd. And it's not just a sense of who earns the most, so to speak, but the people who were the 1 hour folks might be women who were in the crowd, because in that culture in that day, women did not have a role or a voice in society. If there were children in the crowd, they would have the same kind of thing. If there were sick or unclean people in the crowd, they would have been the lesser hour folks. There would also probably be people who really aren't a Pharisee, but they're incredibly religiously devoted. They're devoted to God. And so they find themselves kind of in the place of the story too. But there's this crowd that is around them. And as these folks hear the story, I can imagine all of them being taken aback in one way or another, because there's this expectation of how things work. Because in Jewish culture, the time you put in is the reward that you get. It's much like Protestant work ethic. The time that you put in is the reward that you get. But in this story, nobody is getting what they deserve. The one who labored for an hour didn't get what they deserved. And in the minds of those who labored for 12 hours, because they're comparing to one another, they also did not get what they deserved, because they thought they deserved more. And so Jesus ends this story by saying this. But he answered one of them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend." And he calls him friend, which I think is great. "Didn't you agree to work for denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give to the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" And then Jesus says, makes this last statement, so the last will be first and the first will be last. Another translation of verse 15 says, "Is your eye evil because I am good? Is your eye evil because I am good?" So what's the point of this parable, and what does it have to tell us about the kingdom of heaven? You and I, because you're probably listening to this as a resident of the U.S., you're a Westerner, we have been taught to think about things scientifically and rationally. So one of the first things that we're going to try to do is identify with, okay, well, who is the first and who is the last Who's the first and who is the last? So it's interesting, isn't it, that at least that would be a natural go-to for my mind. I'm going to try to figure out, okay, who's first and who's last? I'm going to try to categorize. And isn't it interesting that one of the first things, at least that comes to my mind, and maybe your mind too, is that I want to categorize things. And then once I categorize things, and I say, well, okay, if Jesus once says that the first will be last and the last will be first, well, then the ideal place to be is the last, and the less ideal is to be first. And so what am I going to do in order to achieve the status of the last? Or what am I going to do in order not to achieve the status of the first? Because we want to align ourselves or earn our way into the moral of the story. And I wonder if that's what Jesus had in mind as he's telling the story. That he wants those who hear to, okay, categorize themselves or others like, okay, they're there and they're there, and the goal then for me is to get into the more favorable position. What is interesting about this story is that Jesus in this parable is doing away with categories altogether. Jesus is doing away with categories altogether. Warren Carter has a great quote and describes what's happening in this way. He says, "The householder has evened out the distinctions and treated them in solidarity as equals. Instead of using wages to reinforce distinctions, he uses them to express equality and solidarity." And so where there would be distinctions and divisions, and Jesus uses these to reinforce a sense of equality. Jesus is not categorizing here. And so the goal of the moral of the story isn't necessarily to say, well, who's last and who's first, or to try and get into the last category or the first category. And then so the question I think begins, or that we can pose to ourselves, is what is our work here? If it's not just to get a moral out of the story, what is the work here? And I think the work for us is different. It depends on who you are and where you're at and how the Spirit is moving, how the Holy Spirit is moving in your life and what's going on in your life. Because this is a story. And so the story, as a story is being told or a parable is being told, it's being received by different people in different ways. And so I would suggest that it's more than just listening to the message that we have here, but maybe it's sitting with this parable throughout the week and being attentive to how the Holy Spirit brings things up for you. I would suggest that our work is like the work of the crowd, to be attentive to where you find yourself in the story, to be attentive to where you find yourself in the story. So it's not to get like one moral principle out of the story, but it's to say, okay, Holy Spirit, as Jesus is telling this story, as I'm receiving this story from Jesus, I'm the crowd. What do you have for me as I am listening to this story? So maybe here's some, just a few suggestions about how to think about answering or thinking about that question. Maybe you find yourselves along with the Pharisees offended about how unfair Jesus is. Maybe there is some conviction that goes on in you about how you consider yourself better than or more deserving than another group of people. Maybe you've worked hard for what you have all your life and you feel like you're really deserving, and that separates you, somehow makes you better than somebody else. Maybe you're in that posture of the Pharisees. Maybe this is a story that exposes the envy that we have towards others when they get what they don't deserve. Maybe for some of us who have been a part of the church for a long time, a part of religion for a long time, followers of Jesus for a long time, those things are not all the same. But we've spent a long time thinking about these things. maybe it's confronting us about our attitudes towards God's utter graciousness towards people that we would consider incredibly undeserving. We're doing the hard work. We're trying to remain faithful 12 hours out of the day, so to speak. But then God shows his graciousness to them? Seriously? Really? Why them? Really them? Yeah, them. That's the shock factor of this story. And so, and maybe here too, all of us find ourselves in different characters at different times. And so maybe there's an inner Pharisee within each one of us who has this sense of entitlement that I deserve this. I've earned this from God. Maybe you find yourself in this story and you're just a member of the crowd and you're like, wow, didn't see that coming. Did not anticipate that was going to happen. Didn't anticipate that the landowner was going to be so generous. So generous. Or you might be shocked and say, I didn't anticipate the landowner to treat them all so equally. And so the Pharisees are shocked and they're bitter. Maybe you're just shocked. Maybe you're just shocked at the goodness of God. Maybe you want to consider Jesus' words about the kingdom of heaven, where the first will be, or the last will be first, and the first will be last. And maybe if it's our tendency to categorize others, it's an invitation for each of us to consider who we put first and who we put last. Maybe it's an invitation to think about our posture, the posture of our hearts towards others, because I can guarantee you, because I know it happens in me, automatically, kind of just because of the human nature within me and my own sense of entitlement or deservedness, I'm going to say, these are the people who I consider first. These are the people who I consider worthy or worthwhile of this part of me or of whatever. There's going to be firsts in my life, and then there's going to be people who I would consider lasts too. And as I consider about what the kingdom of heaven is like and my call to be a participant in the kingdom of heaven, to live in the kingdom of heaven, maybe this is a challenge for me to examine my heart and to see, how do I love my firsts and my lasts with equality? How do I give myself fully to the firsts and the lasts in my life, thus eliminating the categories altogether? Just some thoughts. Just some thoughts. Maybe the parable speaks differently to you. But I think one of the things that's important as we consider the story is not to take a scientific approach to trying to dissect it and create categories about it. But stories are meant to evoke something within us. And so I guess my question for you is, what is evoked within you as you hear this story about Jesus saying, well, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like? And then if that's what the kingdom of heaven is like, what does that mean for you and me as we live in the midst of the kingdom of this world? I think it probably challenges a lot of things. And not only challenges, but if we go back to it again, it calls us to aspire for something greater that God is calling us to, that really is only offered in and through Jesus Christ. Like, this doesn't happen in any other way. It only happens through Jesus. We're going to enter into a time of communion now, and so if you want to get your elements ready, your bread, your juice, your wine, whatever you're using, we're going to receive communion together. And as we do that, I would invite us to consider that this communion with God, just like the work in the field, is open to everybody. And even coming to the communion table, we might sometimes have a pharisaical attitude like, well, not that person, not those people, they're not welcome to this table. But again, Let's consider the parable. Let's consider the parable. This is a parable of grace. This is a parable of the goodness of God. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together, and then I will lead us in receiving communion today. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day, Lord, our daily bread, our denarius. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, broke it, and gave thanks. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's receive together. And after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's receive together. Friends, we're invited to live in the very real reality of God's kingdom, of the kingdom of heaven. And perhaps as we move throughout this week, we can just be having this story of Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like this landowner. Maybe we can have that in the back of our heads. And we can allow it to shape how we interact with the world around us. It's good to be with you today. Just really thankful for you all. Love you much. Peace be with you. See ya.